Hello, this is Hugh Baird. I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guests this evening at any point, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his special guest this evening. So right now, I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, you, and thank you to all the area residents participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas that I have received come directly from these calls. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where I am joined by my very special guest, Zamora Robinson, a third grade teacher and the director of my summer reading camps. We will discuss the topic of back to school and answered any questions you may have. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Now, let me introduce Zamora Robinson, a third grade teacher and a summer reading camp coordinator for our Reading Revolution program. Zamora, please share with our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Good evening, Senator. Thank you for having me. So I am a third grade teacher at B.B. Comegys in Southwest Philly. And formerly before that, I was a literacy coach. And I also was the summer reading coordinator this summer for the Senator Haywood Summer Reading Revolution program. This will be going into my 10th year in education. I've also taught in 3 different states, working in grades K through 5.
Tell us a little bit more about the reading programs that you directed this summer, please.
Oh, great. So we worked with 6 recreation centers this summer, and we had roughly 161 children that we worked with this summer. And we had the pleasure of working with the students between 3 to 4 days a week for an hour and a half on different reading components and helping students to avoid their summer slide, either with continually reading for 20 to 30 minutes daily. We also did read aloud and focused in on sight words to help our struggling readers.
How old were the children?
The students range from kindergarten to going into the 4th grade. So those students who just finished up 3rd.
That's tremendous. And we had a couple of school-based camps. Tell us a little bit about those two.
Yes. So we partnered with the Read to Succeed program at our Senator Hughes' office. And we had a base location at McCloskey, which had 60 students, and another base at Worcester School, and we had roughly 30 students there, and they met Monday through Thursday for about 4 hours, working with reading, science, and math, and all how they're connected through reading.
So what are these programs intended to do? I mean, do they work in terms of helping the children to either stay up to date with their reading or improve?
Right. Looking at how literacy works with education, we know that when students don't continually practice, and so when, especially this summer, the students had 3 months away out of the classroom. So when students aren't continually working and practicing what they learn throughout the school year, they lose it. As that old saying goes, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Well, that goes with their reading skills. And so this program is intended to really help those students not lose anything that they learned. So through the program, we're getting them to read continually every day, that good 20 to 30 minutes on a book around their level, as well as practice some of the skills that they worked on throughout the school year, which are those sight words, sounding out. That way, when they come back in September, there's not any loss, and they can pick up right where they left off.
Thank you for sharing that description.
Senator, before we continue the discussion, we've had some new folks who have joined us, and it just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his special guest, evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his special guest this evening, Zamora Robinson, we're talking about back to school. We're talking about the summer reading program. Press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, pardon my interruption. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
All right. Senator, are you ready to begin with the callers?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, we're going to go to our first caller this evening. Our first caller is Mr. Wirtz. Mr. Wirtz, go ahead. You're live with Senator Art Haywood and his special guest.
How are you, Senator Haywood? How are you, Mr. Robinson?
Good. Thanks for calling, Mr. Wirtz.
This is Mr. Hercules Wirtz, committee man in the area of Philadelphia of 2228. We try to help our children while they're out of summer school and with reading dialogue. And is the school district doing anything else to further some of these programs so they don't have to really, you know, start from the beginning after each time they end? I just would like to ask that question.
So I can speak on what we are doing, not directly on what the school district is doing.
Okay.
Once school is out, I think the school district then begins to prepare for the next September. And
yes,
this is exactly why, Mr. Wirtz, we decided we would start these summer reading programs so kids would not fall behind and start in September having lost the full summer of reading. And we saw some studies that said if you don't read in the summer, that over 2 or 3 or 4 years, you could fall behind a full grade from those who are really reading, keeping it up. So, Ms. Robinson, you may know what the school district is doing, but I think in the summer is the time for the community to step up and assist these children. This is what we're trying to do, but Ms. Robinson, are you familiar with what the school district does during the summertime other than prepare for the next year?
Right. So the school district actually does not really have too many summer school programs largely based. They mainly focus on their ESL population. So like the senator said, it really is community-based. There are some schools that, you know, they might have after-school programs in their schools where they're able to do summer programs, but other than that, it is really based on the community, on the home, and the information that teachers may send home with the student to help them stay up to date before they return back.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the questions.
Thank you so kindly.
Mr. Wirtz, thank you very much for your call. Again, for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you press star 3 on your phone's keypad. He's welcoming special guest Zamora Robinson. Again, we're talking about back to school, children going back to school, and the summer reading program. Senator, before we go back to the callers, and I know you've been involved with this program and you've sponsored this program for several years. Can you talk a little bit about its beginning, how it started, and how you got invested in the program?
Sure. In my first few months, I was looking at the reading scores of children in the district, and I found that on the Montgomery County side of the district, there's only about 5% of the kids who were not proficient. And on the Philadelphia side of my district, there was 58% not reading at proficiency. So it was clear to me that something had to be done. I'm not the superintendent, and so I thought we could intervene by helping the kids during the summer. And so in our first summer, we were at 2 recreation center camps. Now we've moved to 6 recreation center camps and partnering with Senator Hughes at the 2 schools. So I'm so happy. I think that at this point, we've served over 900 children so that they will not fall behind in their reading. And in some instances, those children who have had attended regularly have really increased their reading skills because of the personal attention that the tutors have been able to provide. And I can't be more happy with the program. The support of the free library has been so important. We've had tutors from AARP who are experienced and know what they're doing. So we've had a good partnership and hope to continue it.
Thank you, Senator. And, Senator, before we go back to the callers again, we're having some folks that just joined us. If you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. He's here with his special guest, Amora Robinson. We're talking about back-to-school issues and reading. Again, if you have a question, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to John in West Oak Lane. John, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Amora Robinson.
Good evening. My question
Good evening,
was,
John.
My question was pertaining to the reading. I know when I was going to school, one thing they stressed with the reading was comprehension. And it's possible that people might go forth reading the words but not understand what they're reading, which is going to follow them throughout their life if they don't learn to do it right the first time. So I'm just wondering how much time is being spent on not only just learning how to say the word, but understand what you're reading.
Critical question. I fully
right.
agree. Tomorrow you may want to be able to respond to that.
Yes.
Very important question.
Yes. So they go hand in hand. And research has shown that we can't wait for the comprehension. So that's why you see such rich conversations and discussions and questions happening in pre-K and in kindergarten. There is a little bit more emphasis on learning how to read in K to 2, just in terms of they can't comprehend what they can't read. And then there is a big major shift that happens between second and third, which really pushes into the higher order thinking questions, which really gets students to grapple with not just exactly what's happening in the text, but the why behind it and how are things making connections and things of that nature. But yes, so a great thing to do is to always follow up asking children, okay, so what did you learn and why do you think the author is doing that, and asking them questions about what they're reading when they're reading it, and then helping them if they are struggling, giving them something they can read a little bit more fluently. That way they can hone in on those comprehension skills. So, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Holly, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes. Why is it that there's not much emphasis put on reading current events, the things that are happening, so that the people or the children can understand, and that would help them with the fear factor?
So there actually is a lot of current events that does happen when we do nonfiction reading. A little bit more goes into it when they get into fourth grade. The only time we do have to be a little wary, because we do some topics we must have like parental consent. Some parents don't want their child exposed, so we do have to tread waters lightly when you're dealing in a K to 5 setting when it comes to current events. But there are websites that teachers use called News ELA, which gives articles on current event topics, and they can be broken down into kid-friendly language, and so it can have access for second and third graders. That I know teachers throughout the district uses. But a lot of times it really just depends upon the teacher, the school, and the topic. Some topics we do, unfortunately, need to be careful of, because some parents just don't want their child exposed to it, or they want that topic being discussed in the home prior to in the classroom. So we do have to be wary of that topic, of certain topics.
Thank you, John.
Okay. John, thank you very much for your question. Again, before we go back to the callers and the discussion, I want to introduce our live poll question. The poll question tonight is, do you support a summer reading program? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2 again. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his special guest this evening, Amora Robinson, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. And Senator, before we go back to the callers, I want to talk a little bit about, get into the back-to-school issue a little bit. You know, we're talking about the summer reading program, and that holds you through the summer. Zamora, is there anything else that students can do to prepare for school in the fall? And as important, is there anything else that parents can do to get their students prepared?
Most importantly is, you know, getting the kids on a routine and on a schedule. We're coming down into the last month before school starts. So, you know, you want to make sure your kids are getting back to that adjusted routine so that way they're not groggy and sleepy and tired when they get ready to come back to school. Also, making sure that they're reading for 20 to 30 minutes every day. We noticed research had showed that when kids read for a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes every single day, it increases their reading level, it increases their vocabulary, and increases their confidence in their reading. And not only does it prevent the summer slide, but it also boosts their reading level throughout the school year, and it really supports them. And parents, don't be shy to ask for help if you don't know. A lot of times, as teachers, we are skeptical on, you know, how much do we want to give parents and how much can you handle. So if you need support about what to do at home or what exactly that child is learning in school, you know, when you get ready for back to school, go with your questions, go with anything that you might need to better help your child at home. So what type of questions should you be asking? You want to make sure you're always asking your child questions as they read. If they're in the younger grades, having them count your money at the store, having them count your change, asking them to know what their change is. For your little ones getting ready to start kindergarten, asking them to spell their name, asking them the letters of the alphabet. Do they know what sounds the letters make? Asking them their colors. Really getting them to practice writing. These simple things, getting them to discuss and have conversations about things that they see, even in the TV shows that they watch, having them talk about, well, what was the problem in that show? Because a lot of times these same type of questions that we can ask about their TV shows, they also are seeing in their books. So getting them to see that the questions are the same. And so really just getting your kids talking, the more vocabulary they get to use and expose to, the better off they'll be, especially as they increase in the years. And then for your older students getting ready to go back to middle school, get them into what type of books they like to read, get them into topics, get them in the library and searching, maybe giving them something to research and learn about, to teach you about that interests them. Is really piquing their interest right now. This is their freedom time, as you can say. So getting them to research and learn about something that they always wanted to know about.
Zamora, thank you again. If we've had some folks just join us. Again, if you have a question for Zamora Robinson, an educator and a summer reading coordinator with Center Haywood's reading program, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, you press *3. Zamora, thank you very much. Senator, I just want to move on to you for a second, if I could, yes. And talk a little bit about, you know, the General Assembly has always been interested in, through Governor Rendell and up until present, in terms of investment in early childhood education. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of that and the effort that's underway in the legislature to maintain that funding?
Sure. So particularly in the Philadelphia area, we should acknowledge the efforts of Mayor Kenney to support the pre-K program with the taxation, and that has significantly increased the opportunities for young children to be in pre-K. All the studies show that the strong pre-K experiences can make a tremendous difference in lifting an individual into reading. And I just want to say one other thing about reading. John Wetzel runs the corrections department, which is really the prisons in Pennsylvania. In my first 3 months, I sat down with him, and he said, Art, if individuals here in prison had known how to read before they got to prison, the prison population would be cut by half. And so we know that reading is a path to opportunity, and not being able to read is the path to, unfortunately, bad situations and possibly incarceration. But we're committed. The Governor Wolf has consistently funded pre-K, that includes Head Start supplements. So we're all in for this age level of reading. I do want to go off topic very briefly, though, if I could, to talk a little bit about the sad, devastating news that came out of El Paso and Dayton. I want everyone to know that I am, along with many others in the legislature, on a bipartisan basis, are seeking to change the laws so we can protect ourselves from those with the guns, particularly these high velocity, these assault weapons. And there are a number of pieces of legislation that I'm sponsoring to try to get at this issue of the mass shooting. But it's not just that. There are daily shootings in some of our neighborhoods, and those shootings are as important as those the mass shootings. And so we are working to address both sides. It's not one answer that's going to resolve it, but we can reduce gun violence by making it much more difficult for dangerous people to get guns. We can reduce gun violence by providing mentoring to some young people at risk. We can reduce gun violence by providing jobs and opportunity to young people at risk. There's some things that we can do. We're not in a position where there's nothing that we can do. We just got to do what we can. John Wooden said, "Don't let what you cannot do stop what you can do." And there are some things we can do here. I did want to share that with everyone. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We have Rita in Mon Airy. Rita, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and a special guest.
Good evening, Mrs. Robinson and Senator Haywood.
Good evening.
Haywood, you mentioned the percentages between Philadelphia County and Montgomery County, and I believe you said 58% on the Philadelphia side, in terms of the children being able to read. I'm wondering whether there was a breakdown of girls versus boys in that 58%. You know, how boys did versus girls. And also, do the children receive books to take home at the end of the program that they can keep?
Thank you for both questions, and thank you for calling. So first, we do give out books. In fact, at the end of the program, the reading program, we allow the children to take up to either between 5 or 6 books home. And each summer, we give out more than 1,000 books to children. So, yes, we are aware that it's important to do, and we do it. It's not only that, we have had some extra books that we have put into some of the recreation centers. Particularly Lonnie Young and Belfield Rec Centers didn't have many books, so we made sure we left some books behind, as well as giving books to children, 5 or 6 at the end each summer. Second, in terms of the girls versus boys, I did not see a gender breakdown. If I did, I don't recall it actually at this point, but I don't think I saw it, and this was back in February of 2015 is when I saw those numbers.
Thank you. And I'm just curious, how the books that they receive, how is the reading list determined? Who selects the reading list that the children read, you know, choose?
Sure. So we, and Zamora can respond to this as well, but we get a number of books from the reading, Read by Fourth program, which is a free library. We acquire some books on our own, and Zamora, you might want to share more about how we get the books for the children to distribute.
Right. So a good majority comes, like the senator said, from the free library, the Read by Fourth program. And they do a really good job at selecting books of diversity, so that way the children of Philadelphia can see themselves in the books that they are reading, as well as we also select, I also go down to the book barn and select books that make sure we are bringing that multicultural diversity to the book selections, as well as the interest levels, to make sure children are not only seeing themselves, but books that interest them, to even spark their ignite that interest in reading when they have something that they can enjoy and also visualize themselves.
I thank you very much
for
your answers and comments. And I just think it's important for our children to be educated, not just schooled. So it's not just schooling, it's to be educating our children. Thank you.
Yes, and then also in regards to your question about the books, this year, if any child that's in the Philadelphia School District that goes to a Philadelphia public school in grades K to 3 will actually be able to begin creating their home libraries. We received a grant district-wide where each kid will be able to receive $7 worth to go book shopping every month in Scholastic book orders, and they can purchase as many books up to $7 every single month. And my school was actually one of the pilot schools last year, and a lot of my students walked away at the end of the school year with 30 to 40 books that they were able to have in their home library. And so that's also another great thing that's about to happen this school year. So just making sure students are aware of how to select their books and also the great books that they can bring home every month.
Well, Rita, thank you very much for your question. Again, if you've just joined us and you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's *3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question. We're going to go back to our second live poll question for those that have joined us. And the second live poll question is, would you tutor a child after school? If you would, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. And if you wouldn't want to do that, you can press 2 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or a special guest this evening, Zamora Robinson, we're talking about back to school issues, preparing students to go back to school and summer reading questions. And I said we're having some folks come on the line right now, but I wanted to just follow up on Rita's question, Zamora, if you have a quick aside. She raised an issue about a gender breakdown relative to reading comprehension. Is that something that has been studied, and is there something that is dealt that is that there's an adjustments made in school relative to comprehension based on gender?
So there has been research looking mainly in like as far as colleges that look at gender and reading levels, not much on when it comes to test scores, and as far as the PSSA scores, they don't break those down by gender. They pretty much break it down by grade, school district, and then with like in the Philadelphia school district by learning networks. And but there has been research in terms of accessing boys and getting them into reading, especially African-American boys, when they don't see themselves depicted in reading, and what that does and how that then creates a lag. But as far as research in actual testing, it is not broken down by gender. But you can find research that colleges conduct on reading levels and reading interests breaking down by gender, where there are independent studies that are done.
Okay. I thought that was an interesting observation by Rita, and you know, it's interesting from somebody who is in the field and practices, and your observations on that. Just as a quick aside, we talked a little bit about the summer reading program back to school. How critical is parental involvement, not only in the summer reading program, but in terms of the success in school for students?
Oh, it's extremely imperative. As teachers, we say parents are your child's first teacher. So when parents really step in, it really not only really helps in preventing that summer slide, but it really becomes a partnership with the teacher, where we have parents that are involved and want to know. It kind of gives us something to then better support us, because if you're looking at a regular school day, the child comes to us about 7 hours, but we only have, outside of lunch, recess, and a special, we only have about 5 hours of instruction with that child every single day. And so knowing that, okay, we gave the support to the parent and the parent is supporting them at home, that active process really supports that child, not only in their confidence with the material, but if they're not understanding something, we can bring it back to the child and to the parent and say, hey, look at this. work on this. This is where they're struggling, and they can do that on their downtime in a more relaxed environment in their home, and then come back and feel successful in the classroom because they've mastered it. And then, and so it builds that partnership and that relationship between the parent and the teacher, and it creates a safe and successful learning environment for the student.
Senator, do you have any follow-up?
I found that to be exactly the case, and the only thing I would recommend in addition to what Zamora said is provide for the children a safe, quiet, well-lit place to study. I think that will go a long way, a consistent, quiet, well-lit place to study.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you press star 3 on your phone's keypad. His special guest this evening is Zamora Robinson. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Deslin. Deslin, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and a special guest.
Good evening. My question is for Ms. Robinson.
Okay.
I wanted to know the best, if you could speak to the best grade level to introduce speed reading. And as we facilitate comprehension, we know for medicine, for instance, a lot of it is a voluminous amount of work to go through in such a short time. And we find
mm-hmm.
that the people that do well, they have accomplished the ability to speed read. In doing this, in speed reading, the kid learn to focus more, it facilitates comprehension, and the performance is largely better, boosting the confidence and so. So could you speak to the role of speed
okay.
reading and the best grade to introduce it in summary?
Okay. So in the younger grades, typically in grades K to 5, we call it, we focus mainly on fluency, which is how many words a student can read in a minute and then be able to discuss it. So you can start that if they're able to read a passage in the first grade. So getting them, putting a passage in front of them and having them read for a minute and see how far they can get and still be able to discuss it. And doing that, you know, every couple of days or 2 to 3 times a week definitely increase how many words they're able to read in a minute, and that will better prepare them when they have to read longer books and longer passages. They're not getting stuck, and they're able to get through a larger piece of material rather on the quicker side and still be able to comprehend. So that's my suggestion for grades. Kindergarten, you can speed read through like their letters and their letter sounds, but first grade through fifth grade, giving them a grade appropriate passage and giving them 1 minute to read and see how far they can get in 1 minute and asking them about what they read and having them tally that and track that to track their progress of getting further and further and then switching up the passage and increasing the complexity. As far as speed reading, I would not suggest like intense speed reading until middle school when they're getting more into larger complex text and they have to be able to get through it quicker. But if they're doing these fluency passages in first through fifth, they're better prepared for more of a speed read in middle school and high school. And technically there, I would give them maybe you would want to give them strategies of how to exactly do you speed read, getting them to focus on what book type of vocabulary, getting them to focus on if you're stuck, how do you skip, go back, and what does speed reading exactly look like. And I think closer to 7th and 8th grade is their maturity better able to handle that type of complex text at a rapid rate.
Wow,
if
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Deslin, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you'd like to participate in our live poll question this evening, the second live poll question we have is, would you tutor a child after school? If you would, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you would not like to do that, you can press 2 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or a special guest this evening, You can press *3 on your phone's keypad. And, Senator, before we go back to the callers, I just wanted to go back a little bit into something that Zamora said I thought was very, very interesting. You talked in terms of preparing especially young children for school to, you know, help you count change or to and it was more of applied learning where they can see the results when they're going through in terms of learning about, you know, about money or touching things as they go. How important is that, especially at an early age for like applied learning, that type of thing?
Very important. This is something that we definitely noticed, especially in the testing grades in mathematics, that they have a difficult time seeing how all these small concepts that they learn and how do they apply in real-life situations and in word problems and story problems. So exposing them to real-life situations and getting them to use those mathematical practices really helps them. So getting them to say you have 50 cents and what you want costs 23 cents, how do you know how much you're going to get back? How are you going to figure that out? And getting them to see that concept, that way when they see that in a word problem, they're like, oh, I did that at home. I know how to do that. And they can come to a conclusion quickly. Instead of getting stuck on being able to read and deduct and all of that, they can see the correlation between life and the problem. And that's something that is the biggest hurdle in mathematics with the testing grades is they don't see the relationship and mm-hmm. they see it as two separate things. So getting your children to do some of these concepts with you, along with you, getting them to see the correlation better helps them in the classroom because they can then make some connections with what they're doing and how it's been applied. And then they're not getting stuck in the process.
Well, thank you very much. Before we go on to our callers, I just wanted to introduce our third live poll question for this evening, and that is, do you support your local library? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. And, Senator, just I wanted to follow up a little bit even on our live poll question. You're very involved with the libraries in Philadelphia. How important are they? And relative to the learning process, both with children at the younger ages and relative to community involvement?
I can just share my own experience. When I was young, I went to the library, got a set of books in the summer. 3 weeks later, went back to the library, turned those books in, got another set of books, and did that throughout the summer. And the library was a place where I could continue my reading, and as well build my imagination and dreams. Beyond the little house that I grew up in with my sister and my mom, I was able to see there was a big world, maybe a story about Mexico or China or some other place. And building imagination is a place where we really got to help our young people. I do believe we suffer from a dream deficit, and the dream deficit holds us back from being all that we can be. Reading helps to build those dreams, and we've been very fortunate and be able to get some grants to the libraries in the district. Of course, we'd like to get more, but we're doing all we can, and this year in the state budget, we had an increase for libraries, and I'm glad that we were able to do it because libraries have been flat funded for years. But we really know this is a place where young people can learn. I'm so glad we're able to do more. There's much more to be done.
And, Zamora, is that important for teachers to engage students to utilize their local libraries?
Yes. So a lot of times we ask students to read nightly for homework. And the library, we give the parents, we tell parents, and we help parents help their student get a local library card because that's where they're getting the books from. And we tell parents, you don't have to worry about buying. Utilize your local library. Check those books out so your kids can read every single day. And getting them to understand how the library works. And so as teachers, the local library is extremely important.
Well, thank you very much. Again, our live poll question tonight, if you'd like to participate, is do you support your local library? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Senator, if I could just switch gears here for a little bit. We have some folks who want to talk to you a little bit about security based on, you know, your statement given Dayton and El Paso. And I'm going to bring Brian on the line. He has a question for you. Brian, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator Haywood and Mrs. Robinson. Nice to speak with you. This is in reference, again, to police presence and our parents and children who are about to go shopping for school needs. Will there be a police presence, a stronger police presence, to thwart the idea of soft targets?
Are you talking about police presence at the places where we shop for back to school?
Yes, sir.
I am not aware of the police having the resources to manage all the places where we are doing school shopping. I know that, I know that the police, both Philadelphia and those in Montgomery County, are on heightened alert with respect to the threats that our people, our young people, and not just young people, the adults are facing. But I cannot say that they have an approach to provide more surveillance at the places where they're shopping for school supplies. I do want you to know, however, that on August the 15th, we will have the chief of the state police in the district, and he will explain what he is doing to deal with the white nationalist threat in Pennsylvania. And we may not be able to control what the national government does or the president, but here in Pennsylvania, the state police do have a special unit focused on these white nationalists. He's going to tell us more about it. But that is, but I cannot say the police are prepared to surveil all of the shopping.
Okay, and I could understand the costliness of that endeavor. But just a few days ago, for my granddaughter's 8th birthday, I was on my way to taking her to Uncle Bobby's to buy a book for her as a gift. And she said to me, she says, "I don't think President Trump is a good president. I don't like the way he treats people." And then we have El Paso and Dayton. And I just want to tie it in with one of the things in which I've always done with my – I have 3 grown-up daughters now, two of which have master's degrees. And one of the things my college professor said to me, he says, children love to imitate their parents. And I was intrepidated at the fact of being a new father, you know, a father for the first time. And he says, look, if you just – he said, what did the father of my 3 sons do? I said, he always had a book. He says, was he reading it? And I said, yeah, I think. And he said to me, he said, am I reading a book now? And I looked, he tipped the pages to me, and they were blank. I had thought that he was reading something. They weren't. He says, no matter what, children go on perception. And that's the reason I take my daughters to bookstores, libraries, and everything. They know it's a part of our regular lives. And every day that you can produce a report on Black history, that's Black History Day, okay? So I'm not saying not to learn Eurocentric, you know, but it would be nice to have a different flavor like Afrocentric, just so that you understand, much like Jewish people do, what happened to their folks in the Holocaust. Don't ever forget, keep your ears to the ground so you can hear the hooves coming, okay, and how to get out of harm's way.
That is, I'm so glad you shared that, and that works. What you said is truth. Young people, children, they do follow the parents. If the parents are readers, it's very likely the children are going to be readers. And I can tell you that in where I grew up, we had a big emphasis on African-American history. So I agree with you. We need to make sure our children know as much as they can about themselves as well as the world around them. And there's no way to really get any kind of depth to that understanding without reading. So thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you very much for your call. Senator, before we go back to the callers, just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. And again, just to follow up on what Brian said relative to, and Zamora, what you indicated as well, there was a significant parental involvement and significant involvement in terms of going to you know, purchase what Brian mentioned about purchasing books. That's a critical part. And I think, Senator, what you had mentioned earlier in terms about finding for children, especially younger children, a safe area where they can read, a quiet area where they can read, that is a critical part of the learning environment as well. Zamora?
I agree. I think one of the core parts of reading 20 minutes, having a quiet, safe place to read, is generating the what I call the academic discipline to be consistent. We know that people who play instruments have to practice every day. Some people in sports practice every day. It's that daily discipline that generates the accumulation, step-by-step building. And I believe that this academic discipline is what, if we can get that into our children and into our homes, then when they go to school, they'll be so much more prepared.
More?
Yes, I agree. It's creating that schedule, that routine, letting students know that you also see that this time is very important. It's not just something that we brush off. And getting them to find a way they enjoy it, if they like laying down, if they like sitting up, getting them to learn themselves as readers and as learners. And so many times we push it on kids the way they should do something, but we also, as adults, we have special ways that we like to do things, but we learn that. So getting kids to learn themselves as learners and as readers and helping them embrace that also helps them and encourages them to put that routine in their daily schedule as well, and it's something that they end up looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Senator, before we go back to the callers, again, just one other aspect about your summer reading program. Again, you've been involved that summer reading program. Anything new in the future? Are you thinking about other things relative to engaging other resources or following up?
So we've had a number of ideas from tutors about how we can improve the program. I'm sure that Zamora has some ideas, and this is probably a good time for Zamora to suggest what we can do different as opposed to me.
Just looking at it, trying to incorporate more people from the community. Our tutors are absolutely amazing, and we just want to encourage them and build them up. So looking in to different organizations that can also help support us and different colleges that can send in volunteers and more support, since we're getting more and more students in these programs and in these classrooms, more than, you know, one to two tutors can handle because they're used to small group settings. So getting some college students in that are taking this on as a profession, so not only can they see how amazing our Philadelphia students are that they want to work with when they graduate, but also better support our tutors in doing some more small groups and supporting our students maybe that might be struggling a little bit more and can step in and be that buffer and help them in a way that they probably couldn't get the help throughout the school year. So that's just something that we're looking into for next year to better support our students.
And Zamora, did you share that? Thanks for the answer, but did you say at the outset that we had about 160 kids in the rec center camps?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can say that's tremendous. That's more than we've ever had. That's a record for our rec center camps. So that's exactly why Zamora is saying we may need some more help. That's tremendous. That's a record.
Yes. So, and parents are excited, and parents More and more parents are learning about it. So we're just hoping that number increases. So being ready for that increase in numbers is what's best.
Well, thank you. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to John. John, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Once again, I say hello. My question is, why is it that we have to wait to go to the books to get some of the history when you have some senior citizens walking among you who can tell you things that are not in the book that they actually lived through, which is a part of the history?
Thank you so much, John. So I think one basic reason we go to books is because they're readily accessible and much easier to grab and read. Organizing to get older adults into the same settings with the children to share their stories is just a much more challenging from a logistics perspective of which older adult do we get. We have to get their story ahead of time to make sure it fits with what we're doing with the children. So it's just like having a guest into a classroom. It's a fantastic thing to have, but organizing it logistically is much more challenging. Now, I would say to you, John, if you have a story to tell young people, please contact my office, and we may be able to therefore arrange for you to share your story. And we'd be glad to hear it so we can figure out how to get that done. But we would need, at least from my office perspective, we would need older adults to come in, tell us what they have to share, so we may be in a position to incorporate it into what we do next summer.
Well, one of the things is that we have a problem with children going to school. They do more work with trying to get away from school than going to school. And why did they have such a big push on going to school? Because they were coming out of the fields, going in to find a job. But this all took place during the Second World War. All you had was agriculture. Now you go into the industry and the factories. They didn't have that before. And because you didn't have sufficient education, you were limited to what you could do. Now we're looking to move the sky, and they need to know why they're going to school, not only to get an education, but to be able to support their families without depending upon the government.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure, Zamora, you can speak to the purposes that we share with children. I'm not sure we share with children, kindergartners, but maybe you can address
age. Be surprised what they know.
Yes, I'm asking Zamora to address the purpose question as well as the attendance question. She would be better able to do that than me.
So let's see, that's a two-fold question. So in terms of encouraging children, so a lot of the ways teaching has been done has been shifting, really preparing students, because we are in a new generation where it is more self-driven. We see a lot more entrepreneurs. We see a lot more creative minds at work, and that is what's exploding our job market, and to the point where we technically can't prepare students for a certain career anymore because we don't know what those careers are going to be in the future. Unlike when education first started, it was preparing people for industrial and work warehouse jobs. We don't have those positions anymore. And so we are preparing students to be more creative, using their minds, giving them the tools, giving them the basics and the foundations, and having them explore. So they're best prepared to be able to create things on their own, see vision, see dreams, and expose them to people who have already done those things. So even in the younger grades, we expose children to different career paths, and we have career days where the younger children are exposed so they can ask questions to get them excited so they can understand how these things are happening and that they're learning and what's the meaning and the purpose behind it. And I think when we really start to ignite that fire and get children to see the importance of understanding these basics to best support that creativity, I think we will begin to see a little less of the dropout rate within our higher grade settings. And I think that when we look at schools where high schoolers and middle schoolers are able to explore and create, there's a higher attendance rate. versus schools where it's still kind of in that warehouse. I go in, it's the mundane. And then as far as attendance, in where I am, I'm in a more K to five setting. Attendance is really on the parents. We need to make sure the parents understand how important it is for children to come to school every day. I know, and this is a burden across the school district, we have many students who miss, there's only 180 school days in a year, and we have students that miss 30, 40 school days in a year because, oh, my mom didn't wake up in time, or we overslept, or no, I had no one to bring me to school. So it's really, you know, pushing upon the parents the importance of why your child needs to be at school every day. And if that routine and schedule is placed on them in that K to five, when they get to middle school and high school, that routine is already engraved and embodied, and they understand, and it will continue in the upper grades. And I think so, it's a two-folded, two-part situation that needs to be addressed.
John, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here, but before we go to concluding comments, I just wanted to report the results from our live polling questions today. First question is, do you support a summer reading program? And that was 100%. Those who responded did support it. Our second question tonight is, would you tutor a child after school? 75% of those who responded indicated that they would. The third is, do you support your local library? 78% of those who responded indicate they would. Senator, we're coming, as I said, we're coming to the close here. I know you have some concluding comments, both you and Zamora, and then we'll finish up for the evening.
Thank you so much, you. I want to thank each of the callers for raising the questions that you did and participating on our town hall tonight. As I said at the outset, some of my greatest feedback comes from these telephone town halls. If you have a question that you did not get to ask, please call my office at 215-242-8171, and we can follow up. If you ask, we will be consistent in trying to get any question that you did not get to ask answered. Again, I want to thank you and Zamora and all the callers for participating on this town hall. Zamora, do you have some concluding comments as well for the tremendous callers that we had tonight?
Just wanted to say thank you for having me, and have a great school year. Don't forget, just don't be afraid to ask. The teachers, they're willing, so use them. They're there. And have a great and successful school year. And if you have any concerns, never hesitate to reach out to the school board. They're also listening, and they also want to make sure your child is receiving the best education possible.
Zamora, thank you very much. Senator, thank you very much. For those that have joined us again, thank you very much for participating in Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. You've been a wonderful audience, and enjoy the rest of your evening.